You know, the story is told of four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip morning classes. Each, all of a sudden, had a bad case of spring fever. After lunch, they showed up at school and reported to the teacher that their car had a flat tire. Much to their relief, she smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz this morning, so take your seats and get out a pencil and a paper." Still smiling, she waited as they settled down and got ready for her questions. Then she said, "First question, which tire was flat?" You see, these jokers thought they were smart. I don't know about you, I don't like being lied to. I can't stand it when people lie to me. You want to see the non-Christian in me come out? Lie to me. It ticks me off. But you see, this morning, I don't think as people we're angry enough and we're not mad enough. Because we get lied to every day by the devil. And a lot of us, we've been so comfortable with the lies, we don't even see it. It doesn't faze us. And it needs to make us mad. My title this morning is "The Devil is a Liar." That's what we're going to talk about. Because you need to be angry. Because I'm angry about the lies that Satan tells. In John 8, beginning verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies," notice, it doesn't say if he lies, it says when he lies, "he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." That's who the devil is. The devil is in the lying business. He will tell you life will be great. Do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this. Do it this way, do it that way. And we'll listen to all his lies. And then we'll wonder how come life is not going the way we want it to. Satan is out to deceive and to defeat. That's his main aim. You know, earlier this week, I went to Craigslist and I went to their car section. And I was looking around, and I saw this car that I want to buy that normally retails for about $16,000, $17,000. And this guy had his thing in there, you know, this model, low miles, for $4,800. I thought, wow, that's a great deal. And so, you know, I responded, you know, "I'd like to take a look at the car, and does it have any accidents and stuff like that?" And when I got back to my computer the next morning, he responded by saying, "No accidents. You know, as a matter of fact, here's the rest of the VIN number. And any more questions?" But I noticed that he had responded around 4 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, my antennas went up. Like, there's something going on here. And so, you know, I emailed it to my car consultant, Todd Manafee. I said, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Because it sounds too good to be true." And then later on, I was reading on, on Craigslist, where there are people that will try and scam you out of things. And especially when it comes to cars, if they tell you that, "Oh, send money over here and then we'll ship the car to you," it's a scam. And lo and behold, the guy responded, said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, the car is in Oregon, the state of Oregon. And, but, you know, you pay through PayPal, whatever it is, and we'll ship the car to you." I replied to him, "No thanks. I don't buy what I can't see. Good luck." He's a scammer. And I'm not about to be scammed. I'm too smart for that. This guy is out to deceive. And there are people like that on the internet. But you see, day in and day out, that's what Satan does. He's out to deceive. He's out to defeat. But a lot of times we don't hear his voice. All that negative thinking, that's not God. That's the devil talking. Amen? Because on every issue in your life and in my life, I promise you, there's a scripture for it. And the question always is, who are you going to believe? The devil or what God says in his word? That's always the question. And so this morning, very quickly, I want to talk about just a few of the lies that Satan tells. Okay? He lies all the time. I mean, we'll be here for the next several months to talk about every lie. But I just want to talk about a few. Amen? Here's one. There's no heaven, there's no hell. There are people who believe this. That when you and I die, we simply cease to exist. We're not going anywhere. There is no heaven, there's no hell. So you can live your life any way you want. It's a lie. I see some of you finding yourself. Let me tell you something. From everything I read, hell is going to be a hard place. It's going to be much more intense than summer in Atlanta. You say, how hard it is? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. That's my attitude. But Satan says, there's no heaven, there's no hell. I mean, it's amazing. God's word says, this is from Matthew 25, Jesus talking about the parable of the sheep and the goats at the end of the age when he's going to separate people. And he says there, he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Jesus talking. And it's very interesting. The whole concept of hell shows up 29 times in the Gospels. 29 times. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The concept of hell. 29 times. 25 of the 29. Guess who's doing the talking? Jesus. Don't tell me that place doesn't exist. Don't tell me there are no people in this room that are going to go there one day. The fact that your membership is on the roll of the Atlanta Church of Christ in hell in Gwinnett does not mean you're going to heaven. Let me repeat that. The fact that I'm a minister does not mean I'm going to heaven. We assume that. The question is, are we living by the truth? That's what's going to get you to heaven. We can come on Sunday, we can sing. The question is, what are we doing the rest of the week when nobody else is around? Amen? Let's not kid ourselves. But Satan has a lot of us fooled, thinking, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm here, I give my tithe, I go to church, you know, I'm there. I'm doing my stuff. Be careful. Amen? Hell exists. Heaven exists. This is cut off my reference. Then I saw a new heaven. This is Revelation 22. Sorry, Revelation 21 verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. This earth and the heaven right now where God is, the Bible says it's going to pass away. That's what God says. And there was no longer any sea. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. There's going to be a new heaven. Streets of gold. Incredible. The Bible says no pain, no sorrow. That place exists. That's where I want to go. Is that where you want to go? I didn't hear you. Is that where you want to go? Yeah. Then you need to live like it. This is what motivates me every single day. This is what I think about every single day. It's this place. That's what keeps me going. You can take my life. You can take anything you want. But don't take my salvation. Don't take my eternal destiny with God. But you see, a lot of times we get so distracted by life. Satan has us fooled. We worry about our jobs. We worry about this. We worry about that. We worry about this. Instead of you thinking and meditating on this day and night. Because again, if you believe there is a heaven, it will show you the way we live. Amen? Amen. We got to be very careful. The devil is a liar. Don't fall for his lies. Another lie. Get right with God tomorrow. Get serious about your life. But do it later. That's the lie. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The Bible never tells you to do anything tomorrow. It's always today. Because this is the only day I am guaranteed. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. As a matter of fact, in James 4, verses 13 to 16, this is God's word. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears and for a little while. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. We carry on as if we're guaranteed tomorrow. Satan says, yeah, you don't have to do it now. Do it later. That's why I get very excited when I see young men and women decide to follow God at a very early age. Because there are a lot of them, I'll do it later. Christianity, that's just my parents. Christianity, that's just people who don't have it together. When you're miserable and, you know, life is tough for you, those are the people who are Christians. Me, I'm too cool to be a Christian. They are going to hell in thousands by the day. But you see, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. There is not a week that goes by where you don't read in the newspaper or hear on the news of some teenager getting killed in some car accident. And then, you know, it's amazing to me. And then you say, oh, they all get together. And you know, oh, no. So Johnny's gone. Oh, we're going to miss Johnny. He was such a nice guy. Oh, no. Johnny needed to get his life right. Instead of messing around and drinking. That's what Johnny needed to do. Amen? But tomorrow is an illusion that Satan sells us. I'll repent tomorrow. Show me that in the Bible. Repentance is eagerness, concern, longing to clear yourself. The Bible says, at every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, I'll get right tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. Yeah, I know I've been lukewarm. I know, yeah, I've not been really been a disciple. And, you know, I'll do it next week. I feel sorry for you. I'll repeat myself. I feel very sorry for you. Because there's no guarantee you're going to be alive this time next week. No boasting about tomorrow. You're listening to the devil's lies. He has you wrapped up. You don't even realize it. Another lie. You believe in God. You're a Christian. I used to believe this for a long time. Yeah, I believe in God. I go to church, so I'm a Christian. What does John 8 say? This is Jesus speaking. To the Jews who had believed him. Let's stop right there. These are people who believed him. You know, back then, that in the first century, a lot of them didn't believe he was the Son of God. These are the guys who believed he was the Messiah. He didn't say, oh, you guys believe in me, fantastic, I'll see you all in heaven. Oh, no. He says, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Belief in Jesus is not enough. Are you holding on to the teachings? That's the issue. Are you living your life according to this? That's what makes you a Christian. Not just believing in God and going to church. Are you living your life according to this? Are you a wife according to this book? Are you living like a husband according to this book? Are you being a father like God says according to this book? That's the issue. Belief is not enough. Do you know that Muslims believe in Jesus? Oh, you didn't know that, did you? If you pick up the Quran, Jesus is in there. They just don't believe he's the Messiah. They just don't believe he's the Son of God, but they believe in Jesus. Again, I use that as an example. But you see, belief is not enough. It's a lie of Satan. Think, you know what, hey, I'm okay. I believe in God. I'm gonna get in. Wrong. It's a lie. You got to hold on to the teachings. You got to live according to the scriptures. We're going to talk about this for a long time. Baptism is not important. It's a lie. Are you with me? That's the devil talking. Again, I'm not talking about just getting immersed in water. People do that all the time. I'm talking of biblical baptism. That one has repented, somebody has changed, confessed their sins, decided to turn around. I'm talking about a man and woman who has made Jesus Lord. that God, you're going to be the most important thing before you get baptized. That's what I'm talking about. That's the baptism we're dealing with. You know, people say, you know what? Baptism is a work and works cannot save you. That's the argument. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, it does say we are saved by grace. It is a gift of God. Are you with me? There is nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. It's a free gift. But let's look in Colossians chapter 2. Turn your Bibles. I don't have a slide for this one, but I want us to read it. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, in him, that's Jesus, you were also circumcised. Remember, he's talking to the Christians in Colossae. It says, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, yes, that word again, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. It says, in him, in Christ, you and I were circumcised, just like the Jews. It wasn't a physical circumcision. It was a spiritual one, through baptism. But notice, who is doing the work? Jesus. Baptism is a work, but it's Jesus' work. It's not man's work. My works cannot save me. Your works cannot save you. Jesus' works will save you. And that's where people miss. Baptism is the work of Christ, and it saves. You see, you and I decide to repent. That's something we do. We decide to make Jesus Lord. That's something we do. We decide to put our faith in God. That's something you do. And then at baptism, God does for you what you cannot do for yourself. But you see, when Satan goes, baptism is not important, baptism is a walk. It's a lie. He's not telling you the whole truth. Another one is baptism is just a symbol. That's, again, I'm giving all these references because the Bible says the opposite. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about how when you and I are baptized, we're baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what baptism is. Just like Jesus, we die, we're buried, and we're raised to live a new life. It's not a symbol of that. You're not going to find the word symbol in any of those passages in Romans chapter 6. It is something we actually do with Christ. So when the devil says the baptism is just a symbol, it's a lie. Again, I used to believe that growing up. Baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace. That was what I was taught, and I believed it. Until I saw in the Bible differently. Amen? Another lie. Baptism does not save you. 1 Peter 3:21 clearly says, baptism saves you. You go check it out. Who are you going to believe? The liar or the Bible? It says it. It says, and this water symbolizes baptism, comparing it to the waters of Noah, that now saves you also. Not the removal of death from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. That's what Russell's going to experience this afternoon. He's going to get saved. Right now he's not saved. That's why he wants to get baptized. Amen? Oh, say, well, you know, people call me Pastor Richard. Oh, Pastor Richard, I did that when I was 25. Oh, really? So when you were being immersed in water, you knew you were getting saved at that point. Not quite. Then you got to ask yourself that question. Was that baptism valid then? As a matter of fact, when you got immersed in water at 25, had you repented according to the Bible? I don't think so. Then did that baptism save you then? Had you really make Jesus Lord? Where God was going to be the most important thing? No, I didn't really do that. And you're going to rely on that baptism at 20, that you did at 25 to get you to heaven. When are you going to realize that God has brought you to this point to see all this? This is not something that this church came up with. It's always been in the book. It says baptism saves you. Amen? People say, aha, the thief on the cross was never baptized and went to paradise. Therefore, baptism is not important. That's the argument. To me, this one is very simple. It really is. Look up the reference. Luke 23:43. Jesus looked at that thief. We don't know his name. I've said before, that's one of the first guys I want to talk to when we get to the other side. Because I'm going to look at him and say, you lucky son of a gun. You snuck in at last minute. God was really merciful to you. What's your name, by the way? It's good to meet you. Give him a hug. But that guy's going to be in heaven. Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. People say, well, that guy was never baptized, so I don't need to get baptized. Oh, really? Okay. Romans chapter 6. What does it say baptism is? Death with Jesus, burial with Jesus, and resurrection with Jesus. Question. When Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and said to him, today you will be with me in paradise, was he dead? Had he been buried? Had he rose from the dead? How could a thief take part in something that hasn't happened yet? Nobody was baptized for the forgiveness of sins until Jesus rose from the dead. Folks, this is not rocket science. It's not that complicated. How could a thief have taken part in something that hasn't happened yet? Besides, when Jesus was on earth, he had the power to forgive sins directly, and he did it many times. An example is in Matthew 9. The guy they brought him through the roof, and Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Guess what? He saved him right there. Boom! If Jesus were to walk into this room right now, in person, and looks at Russell and says, Russell, son, your sins are forgiven. Guess what? We're not having a baptism this afternoon. But he's no longer here in person. That's why he's left us his word to follow. Amen? Are you listening to me? The thief on the cross was a very unique case. Oh, just pray just into your heart. This one really ticks me off. Based on Revelation 3. Jesus stands at the door of your heart knocking. Open the door and he will come in. They'll give you tracts and they use that scripture. But they're taking that scripture out of context. He's not telling us how to become Christians. He's telling lukewarm Christians to repent. Go read it. Go study it. I did this about 30 years ago. I went to an arena in New York City. In Long Island, God on God went forward, said a prayer based on Revelation 3. Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. I went forward. My younger brother, who's way out there, I mean, he's as worldly as they come. He jumped out. He went forward with me. We both got saved by praying. 3 months later, I went back to the same old rubbish I used to do. Even back then, I knew something was wrong. I knew it can't be this easy. Again, I ask people, give me one example in the Bible of somebody who got saved by praying. They can't tell me. They can't show me one verse. The devil is a liar. He's got a lot of people fooled. Some of these guys got big churches. Live in big houses. Driving around in very nice cars. As far as I'm concerned, every single one of them, they're agents of the devil. Because people are being misled by the thousands on a daily basis. It is not in the Bible. I don't care how big the church is. Why do you think I become a preacher? I got angry when I realized all this stuff. I said, I can't sit here and be making money as an attorney. A lot of my classmates are millionaires as I'm standing here. I'm not a millionaire, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Again, there's nothing wrong with being a millionaire. But that money ain't going to take you to heaven. I decided to do something more useful with my life. That's why I'm preaching. And praise God, Christians have supported me for 22 years. Amen? But it's about the truth. It's about preaching the truth, even when it's not popular. Another one, just believe and confess and you are saved. Based on Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Just confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, and believe in your hearts, and you'll be saved. But you know what's interesting about this? Look up these references. In James 2, 19, you know what the Bible says? Even the demons believe in God. Okay? Demons. Those agents of the devil, they believe in God. And the Bible says they shudder. If you look in Mark 1, 23 to 24, that's an example. You see them confessing the name of Jesus. You are the Son of God. The demons confess and believe. You're telling me they're Christians? You're telling me that's all you need to do? Again, Romans 10 doesn't say anything about repentance. Does that mean repentance is not important? Of course it is. The point is, this is not a list of everything you need to do as a Christian, to become a Christian. It's part of it. As a matter of fact, you confess Jesus is Lord at your baptism. Again, Russell's going to do that this afternoon. Jalen will do it Tuesday night. And there are other names in here that will do it in the next few weeks. That's exciting to me. Amen? But the devil is a liar. We got to be very, very careful. What's the bottom line? Who are you going to believe? That's the bottom line. Who are you going to believe? God or Satan? The choice is yours. You want to be lied to? You want to continue to follow all the negative thinking? You'll be my guest. I have never begged anybody, and I will never beg anybody to live according to this. The choice is yours. Jesus never tried to sweet talk anybody into the kingdom. Yeah, I encourage you. I help you out. But I'm not going to beg you. Not in this lifetime. You got to follow this. This is the truth that's going to set you free. When you start following this, Jesus says, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The more you read this, the more you live your life according to it, the more you're going to see Satan's lies. Oh, I can't get a job. You know, the economy is still bad. The reason why you don't have a job, let me just be honest with you, is because you've been listening to the devil and that's what you believe. If you would go home this afternoon and try to repent, that this week, God is going to give me the job that he wants me to have. I promise you, you will get it. Or you're going to listen to the devil and say, you can't find anything. Times are hard. The economy is hard. Please. He's a liar. Amen? Oh, I can't change. I've been like this all my life. Really? That's another lie you've been believing. Amen? You can be different. I can be different. Who are you going to believe? It's time to get mad. Not mad at Richard. Mad at the devil. I hope I've not become your enemy by telling you the truth. I am going to say it. If it's in the Bible, we're going to teach it. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. Who are you going to believe? We're going to say a closing prayer, and that's going to be it for our service. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'm believing God instead. I'm holding on to this instead. I ain't going where he's going. Amen? Amen. God bless you.